that cannot return to you void, but will accomplish what you have sent it to. Your word is great. Your word is too broad for the human mind to grasp. Your word is spiritually discerned. Kingdoms and dominions and power and men and glories and honor are but fleeting, but thy word abide forevermore. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this moment, as it has been done since the creation of the world. Lord, we are going to remind ourselves of your word. Your word says to keep ourselves in remembrance of these things, lest they leave our hearts. Father, we thank you. We pray that you please bless the sharing of your word. Amen. Father, I pray that you please provide understanding and transformation. Amen. He said, a man will not just live by his job or by bread or his career, but rather a man will live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Father, the little bits that we're able to touch on, let it be life unto our navels in Jesus' name. Amen. May your name be glorified, and only you this morning, Lord. Let your word break down chains and opposition. Let your word, O Lord, overcome every doubt. Shed light in our hearts, O Lord, as we lift up the name of Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, the hope of all mankind. Thank you, Father, for this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, brethren.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Happy New Year once again in the name of Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Thanking the Lord for the privilege. I'm so conscious this morning that this is a different kind of morning. We're here to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. We're giving 7 days in a week and all hours, in the same way that Adam and Eve were given a garden to themselves to do whatever they want. But it's reserved for us these few hours to get together to remind ourselves exclusively of what is the will of God for our lives. Just as the Lord reserved one of all the trees, one, a tree of revelation unto himself, that man cannot do anything that he wants with it. So also you and I are not allowed to desecrate. We are not allowed to do anything else in these 1.5 hours except to honor our Lord, to speak as his oracle. We are allowed other times to chastise our children, to discuss, to play. But when we gather in the name of Jesus like this, it's a precious time to remind ourselves, to focus, to let the Lord speak to us. And I just want to continue from last week, a brief review. Because last week we touched on the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19, in which Peter was saying to the people he wrote to, that brethren, you've heard so many things, but you have heard also the surer word of prophecy, which you should not forget. He said they will be wise to take heed to the word of prophecy. Essentially to look back and see how faithful God is. The good thing about the word of prophecy, as of the time when Peter was saying it, was because a lot of those prophecies already came to pass. So they're able to look back and discover or see for themselves that God is faithful. That when they came speaking to them, they were not speaking fables. It's very difficult to cast our minds back to the words of prophecy. It's easier to interpret the future in the light of our current experiences, but our current experiences have less significance on what will happen than the promise of God and the prophecies of God. So it doesn't really matter what is going on now. What matters is what God has said. It doesn't matter how it seems. What matters, what you can count on. You can, so to speak, take it to the bank. What is non-negotiable is what God has said regarding us. Our situations, if you look at the experiences of some of the people we spoke about last week, what was happening to them was quite different from the words that they heard. We spoke, for instance, about Abraham. He was supposed to be the father of many nations, but what was happening to him was that he was childless. And yet, as we sit around the word of God this morning, as the Bible says, we are all descendants, the seeds of Abraham. So the prophecy has come to pass. Although it didn't square with what was happening. I don't know what's happening to you at this moment in your life. If it doesn't seem to align with what you are reading in the Bible, you can still trust in the word of prophecy. They say you have a surer word of prophecy and you be careful to listen to it. And Peter described the word of prophecy that it's like the day star, the bright light that will shine gradually. It's not obvious until the cloud reveals and it's morning. And then it shines brightly. It's an emergent word. It unveils itself gradually with time. So do not be discouraged. It was essentially say, pay attention. Don't interpret the future in the light of the present, but interpret your future in the light of the words that have gone ahead. And last week, we began to say, to examine scripture, because the purpose of the exposition last week and moving on as we start the year is to establish a sure foundation to you and I, brethren, that our entire experience, our hope, our joy, our life is founded on Jesus. From the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, from the creation of the world up until now, the preeminent character, the only significant character, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is very important that we search scriptures, because at times we think it's about us. No, we are just incidental blessings. We are an expression of the Father's love for his Son. He said it has pleased him to bring many brethren into glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are gifts, the gift of God to his Son, to the Son of his delight. A blessed Redeemer. Because of him, we have received mercy. Because of him, we have received compassion from the Father. In fact, the Bible goes on further to tell us that all things were created by Jesus and for Jesus Christ. That's why we went back last week and we began to see how prophecy revealed the Lord and Master Jesus Christ. You know, when you study the Old Testament, you can become entangled in the narrative. The Jews especially were. They were entangled especially in the narrative of Abraham, their father. They were so caught up in that they began to think that Abraham was it. That their entire heritage derived from, by, because of Abraham. So they're saying we're no man's slave, remember in the New Testament, because we're Abraham's seed. And the Lord snickered at them and said, look, the Lord is able to make rocks, children, even of these stones. In the book of John chapter 5, verse 39, someone should please open to that. John 5, 39. The Lord Jesus says something very interesting that I think should humble us, and I think it's very relevant to what we're saying, because I think at times we need to reset the context of our faith, of our Christianity, so that the context of our worship, our expectation, our hope is biblical. Anybody can read it. John chapter 5, verse 39.
You search the scriptures Because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me.
What the Lord was saying here, you can read the full context, is he was arguing, especially the Lord was speaking with the Jews. Say, you know the word of God. You have the good motive. You search the scriptures and you are looking for the right thing. You are looking for eternal life. You are looking for a Messiah. He said, you search them. But what you are supposed to find in them is me. Because the eternal life and the scripture that you are searching reveals me. He said, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. But what you have failed to see, that it is the same scriptures that reveal me. As we search the scriptures, I challenge us that we should insist on seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can get to the Father except through me. In another place, the Lord said, before Abraham, I am. So to the Jews, he was saying, you are full of the stories of Abraham. You know the histories of your father. But what you do not know is that before Abraham, I am. One that is greater than Abraham is here. Until the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Old Testament was described as a man with a veil on his face. Reading the Old Testament. But when Jesus came, it was as though the veil, Paul told us this, was removed so that we could see nearer. So Paul was able to tell one of the churches, my dear children, over whom I labor or strive or travail, until the scriptures be fully formed in you? No. He said, until Christ is fully formed in you. So last week, we went through the Bible to see how the words of prophecy, how the Lord Jesus Christ had been revealed. And it's a beautiful, wonderful narrative, which Stephen in the New Testament told us about it. Snippets, the Lord Jesus told us this same thing. Snippets of the writing of Paul reveal it to them. This actually was the core of the, when the Lord, of course, we know that the gospel came to the Jews. The center, or rather the core of their evangelism to the Jews is that Jesus Christ is the Messiah that the Old Testament talked about. It's very important that we don't let this depart from us in everything we do. Our charity work, our Bible studies, the context of our Christianity must be the glory of the Lord. So last week, we traced the promises of the Lord to the man Abraham through his son Isaac and Jacob. We examined the word of the Lord to Abraham when the Lord promised him he would be the father of many nations. And the Bible says he believed in the Lord and that was attributed to him as righteousness. We saw the story of his son who lived with the father in the promised land, but both of them lived in the land of physical promise as though they were pilgrims and strangers. I think we alluded to the book of Hebrews that also encouraged us that we also ought, despite all these promises we have, all of the blessing of the Lord, that we should live in this land that we are in as strangers and pilgrims, for here we have no continuing city. He said we should therefore go outside the camp, bearing the shame of the Lord Jesus Christ, for here we have no continuity. So you can see the parallel here. Essentially, it was saying, live like Abraham. Although we have all of these promises. Then we went to the story of Jacob, the third generation from Abraham. And we saw how the Lord fulfilled the promise, the word of prophecy that he gave to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. Because the descendants of Jacob, the children of Israel, like the Lord said, went into captivity for 400 years, which is the fourth, his sons were the fourth generation, the children of captivity. And it's exactly as the Lord said, the Lord rose a man called Moses in the fourth generation of captivity, and he brought them out of captivity. We saw this man blessing each one of his children, even before he died. The book of Hebrews chapter 11 told us that these men were men of faith, because when they were leaving Egypt, he made his sons to promise, because they believed in the Lord, that even his bones will not remain in Egypt. And what we learn from these patriarchs, from Abraham, from Isaac, from Jacob, from Joshua, from Moses, is how seriously we need to take the word of prophecy and believe in the Lord. The tendency today is that we seem to think that the word of prophecy is meant to be consumed for now. But these men saw themselves as eternal souls, and they bore witness that the Lord was a living God, the God of the living. So even on their deathbeds, Hebrews described it best. He said, although they had not received the promises, they received it by faith. And this is how we ought to also live as Christians. We need to live beyond the now. We need to live by the word of prophecy. Our minds need to be where Jesus is. We need not be deceived, not be preoccupied by just the now, the here and the now, the ephemeral here and now. We saw the wonderful prophecy that in Genesis chapter 49, verse 9 and 11, that Jacob gave by the word of prophecy. When he said, Judah is the lion's whelp, from the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows and lies down as a lion, and as a lion, who shall rouse him? Said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, and a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes. And to him shall be the obedience of all of the people. And by this word of prophecy, it was established that the savior of the world was to come from the tribe of Judah. Right from Genesis, God's plan had always been in the Savior that you and I have come to know by the free gift of grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. So all of the world, the whole of mankind, had been waiting for the Redeemer that was to come from the tribe of Judah. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible told us that there were exactly 42 generations from Abraham, where we started, unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham, 14 generations to David, 14 generations from David to the captivity, you know, the story of Daniel, and another 14 generations from the captivity to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible was careful to document to us carefully the process that the Lord God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, took in bringing to pass, and how patiently he waited and brought to pass each one of his words. Although at different intervals, people did not understand. I remember, is it a migrant? Or I remember that song, El Shaddai, El Shaddai. Adonai, to age you're still the same by the power of your name. El Shaddai, Kakana, I will praise and lift you high. El Shaddai. And I think there was a line that said, though the people could not tell or know what Messiah ought to be, he said, though your word contains the truth, they just could not understand your most awesome work was done by the, can you call your name?
Frailty of your son.
By the frailty of your son. Of your son. I want you to know that lyric. The Lord probably, I don't know who wrote it, probably Migrant wrote it herself. He said, they could not understand that your most awesome work was done through the frailty of your son. I know there are people listening to me, and you really don't look like the redeemed. You don't feel like the redeemed this morning. Just things are not happening. Other people have things great happening to them this morning since you became born again. You don't really feel fortunate. When they say someone has a promotion, you're saying, awesome God. Everybody say, hallelujah, during testimony. Your testimony has not been like that. In fact, maybe you have relatives who are abusing you, that they have seen a certain downturn in your life since you gave your life to Jesus. They could not understand, they cannot understand that God's most awesome work is being done by the frailest of things. Mm-hmm. I'd like to just think about that song and think about your situation, if you're in that situation in any part of your life this morning. That don't think that because things are not going the way they should be, that the awesomeness of God is being denied you. It's just this way. The Lord told a man who told his relatives that he had a voice, and the voice told him that he was going to be a great man. He was going to be a great man in the land that he will show him. And he abandoned the idol of his father, Terah. And he probably told everybody he was leaving. And they checked him out 40 years, 50 years, maybe 80 years after the fact, and he was still childless. And he, thank God, he was a man of faith. He understood that the Lord's most awesome work in his life was done through the frailty of his experience. When Israel expected a Messiah, they expected a champion, they expected a powerful man in the mold of David. But they did not understand that the Lord's most awesome work was done. Who except the Lord God Almighty? We choose the least likely path to bring glory to his children. And that's the confusing word of prophecy. That's where faith is necessary. Because God who spoke it will always bring it to pass. Don't judge yourself by what is going on. Because the promise will come to pass. Amen. His prophecy will come. Do not change your methods. I've seen too many in my little Christian experience. I've seen men that spoke loftily of the Lord Jesus and were ridiculed by their friends when they were in college. Fast forward, they are now champion pastors. They've embraced the same, because they've embraced the methods that seem to work for now. They've abandoned the way of the cross. They've abandoned what they learned on campus fellowships. It didn't work anymore. When you were taught to live by faith and not by sight, when you were taught that the Lord could do all things, when you were taught that you needn't help yourself, it didn't work. To them, it was like it didn't work. Just like our father, Abraham, it just didn't work. He tried to help the Lord, and he tried to have a child by someone. And only the Lord saved him. Because he only brought problem to his own life. God's most awesome work is done through the frailty of his son. The Lord's prophecy is coming to pass in your life. In spite of your experience, please do not abandon prayer. Don't say this prayer thing does not work, Joe. Don't say this Christianity thing is too slow. Don't say heaven helps those who help themselves. Heaven does not need your help. Just continue in faith. And this was the story of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They were admirable in the way that they believed in the Lord. Isaiah chapter 11, we read it last week there, says there will come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse and a branch out of his roots, the word of prophecy. And exactly as the Bible told it, we trace the history of our Lord Jesus Christ last week to David. David was of the tribe of Judah, the first king from the tribe of Judah. The Lord, just to make sure that we understand that prophecy must come to pass, said to Samuel, okay, Samuel, you have been a very faithful priest. You have been exactly the kind of pastor that I want. You have been a pastor that has not added your own wisdom to mine. I love you, Samuel. Every time Eli was rejected, but last week we learned that Samuel did his job. Christians, just do your job. Don't do more than your job. You cannot help God. This man will go on a circuit from different areas of Israel preaching, because as of that time, the word of the Lord was cast in Israel before that time, and every man did as he wanted. But in the time of Samuel, the spirit of faithfulness was upon this boy that was consecrated. And what did the Bible tell us was different about him? He was the first evangelist in Israel. Yearly, he did not wait for people to come and hear the word of God. He was not a judge that went to win battles by the strength of his hand, like Ehud, the left-handed, like Samson, the poetic judge, like Deborah, the prophetess, the palm tree prophetess. No, he wasn't like that. He was different. He was a man who won by the word of God. The Bible says he built altars in different provinces of Israel and a circuit every year. It was not like our geos that would tell us they can't come to Maryland because I don't know because what. This man was not too big. He went from province to province to province to province. He was a slave of the Most High God, preaching the gospel of the Most High God every year. He did a good job. He did a very fine job. But Israel rejected him and they wanted a king. And he took it personally like you and I would. He was jealous for his God. And frankly, as a minister, I was disappointed. But the Lord comforted him and said, look, they have not rejected you. They have rejected me. He said, now go to the son of Kish, Saul, and anoint him as king over Israel. Because the Lord wanted to show the people that only a man after his heart can do his work. We all saw that Saul was a failure. Why? Because he disobeyed. And the Lord said to him, obedience is better than sacrifice. Just patiently following prophecy, procedures. Paul failed to follow procedures. For Paul failed in the details. Paul was the kind of man that said, Shebi is just to do sacrifice. Shebi is just to preach. Shebi is just to do serve. Shebi is just to give money. As long as the money is given, I don't care what they do with it. His one was, oh, it's just to give sacrifice. It doesn't care. It doesn't matter whether it's the prophet or the priest that did it or me. He forgot that the will of God is that this sacrifice must be done by the priest. You see, it's not just important to serve the Lord. It's also important how you serve the Lord. You must serve the Lord in the way that he wants you to serve him. That was why Saul failed. And the Bible says the Lord rejected Saul, the son of Kish. He said, I found in the house of Jesse a man after my own heart. And Samuel went and anointed David, a man after God's heart. And this David, we're told, was from the tribe of Judah. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. A lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. 14 generations from Abraham to David. 14 generations after the fact, this prophecy came to pass. I don't know how many generations it will take, for it's not for us to know the times and the seasons that the Father has set. But I know that the prophecy of our Lord Jesus Christ concerning us must come to pass. The focus this morning, brethren, is whatever we do this year, please, let's put Jesus. I actually stopped saying first. Let's put Jesus all. Said, for there's no name. There's no acceptable name. There's no name acceptable in heaven or on earth, except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how important Jesus is. He's the key of David. It is very presumptuous to go to the Father except through him. Your charity, when you give, give for Christ's sake. If not, that offering will not be acceptable in heaven. When you pray, pray in the name. The Bible says we should do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving glory to God the Father. We must go back to a Jesus center. When you study, study Jesus through Jesus. It's not about you, brethren. All honor, all dominion, all power, all majesty, the Bible says belongs to him. It looks like a very narrow theology, but thank God that is our theology. Our theology is very narrow. Our theology is Jesus Christ. It's very simple. You must be full of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is where we have failed in Christianity over the years. Now we're full of conferences, methods, steps, procedures. Oh, we're full of charities and all of these other things. Whereas what we ought to be really full of, where our eyes ought to be at all times, is Christ. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me. So all of these prophecies as we close this morning went. And I pray that our hearts are warmed this morning, that the goodness that God has towards us has been predetermined since before we were born. And our generation, every one of us on this call, if the Lord tarries, we will pass away and they will forget us. But the goodness of the Lord will continue. This same message is going to be preached by one girl or one boy somewhere. It will never die until Jesus comes. His dominion will be forever. So all of those words of friends came to pass, and the Jews did not understand. So very quietly, the Lord entered the earth in Bethlehem, and only three shepherd men were paying attention. The great word of prophecy that has begun entered through the world, and there was no fanfare, no announcements, no trumpets, no clarion calls, just quietly, in frailty, in a manger. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, a word of prophecy. And you, Bethlehem Ephratah, which is a city, although you are the smallest of the thousands of Judah, yet out of you will come forth a ruler out of Israel, whose going forth shall be from old, even from everlasting. The city of his birth. Once again, the Lord did not choose Zion, did not choose Jerusalem. He chose Bethlehem, one of the smallest cities in Israel. And from this city, in a manger, our Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. You see, brethren, I'm going to interpret it. There's a Yoruba say, "Bitafu jisi ono gbabelo." Now, oftentimes it is not what you're looking out for that it's not the way it seems. I don't know how to interpret it better. Oftentimes the way the Lord wants to deal with us does not square with what our theology is. Here is the Lord patiently bringing to pass his prophet, and he's still doing it today. And Christ came. He came again as a lamb. We're still waiting for the lion. The lion is a word of prophecy. What we have seen so far is a lamb. Even until our time, the prophecy that the Lord gave to Abraham is still being revealed. We saw the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the whole world come into the world as a baby in a manger. We spat on him. We crucified him. We abused him. Bible says he endured all contradictions of sinners against this person. He came lowly. The Son of Glory, the preeminent personality of all of creation. The one for whom the Bible tells us, Colossians 1:16, that by him all things were created. By him, the things in heaven and on earth. The one that created things visible and invisible, that created thrones and dominions and principalities and power. All things were created by him and for him was spat upon. How likely? That wasn't what Israel was expecting. But I hope you can see the experience of Jesus and be comforted if you are humbled by the Lord this morning. The things of the Lord do not necessarily come by bombast. But the word of prophecy, if we are careful to pay attention, we see that our lives are fulfilling prophecy. We're an extension of the prophecy of the Lord Jesus. And in this Jesus, Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says, in him is hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In him who died on the cross like a common criminal. In him who was born in a manger, the poor place where only animals are born. Yet in him, all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge is hidden. In Colossians, it says, and we're complete in him who is the head of all principalities and power. John chapter 1, verse 3 says, all things were made through this manger man. All things were made, and without him was nothing made that was made through the man that common men nailed on the cross. I pray that our hearts will fall in love with Jesus Christ. I pray that the Lord will remove. You see, I exhort you, New Covenant Church, please don't be. I think Paul said it best that, you know, naturally as human beings, we tend to be overtaken by the, or rather impressed with the brilliance of men, the reputation of men, the experience of men, especially men who have written books and women who know how to speak and dress well and they look like Jesus. Although really, we think they look like Jesus because we never really met Jesus. Because if we met Jesus, I don't think he would look the way we seem to think that he would look. Because when we think of king, we think of the robes, you know, we think of, but that's not how the word of prophecy described our Lord. Don't be moved by physical experience. Be especially very careful when you see the humble, when you see the suffering, when you see the hurt, when you see Christians that things are not really going the way, because that was how it was for Jesus, and that is the word of prophecy. That's the experience of thousands of missionaries and apostles and disciples. In the life of what, in the words of Watchman Nee, Nito Shen, said that is the normal Christian life. Christ said, if any man will come after me, he must deny himself and pick off his cross and follow me. Do you have a cross in your hand and it's heavy? I beg you, don't drop it. I beg you. Does the world call you unfortunate? They call him the king of demon-possessed people, Beelzebub. Is your job not going well and you're tired? I beg you, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because great will be your reward in heaven. We must all be very weary of this theology of the now, because it's not the theology of prophecy. That is what a lot of Christians knew, and they could leave the convenience of their home to knowing that they were going to die of malaria or many other diseases and take these risks because they had the sure word of prophecy. Pray this year that the Lord will give to you a Christian reality or a Christian context that is beyond your immediate experience. Mm-hmm. All of us have a lot of growing to do. I pray this year you will not embrace your ego. Amen. It is very good to have ego. I rejoice in my weakness in Christ personally. The Lord has taught me a long time ago not to be impressed with what people praise me about. Because number one, it doesn't belong to me. I think Paul said it better. He said he glories rather in his abasement. The Lord has been teaching me to pay more attention to my weakness than my strength. Because in my weakness, his grace is made more perfect. The word that the Lord used in Niger speak for me is that because you did not appoint yourself, you have no reason to ever be disappointed in yourself. So you did not appoint yourself, so nothing ought to ever get you down. You should not, if you are doing well, he said, if you are likely the kind of Christian that gets down on yourself, you are likely going to be the kind of Christian that your head will swell when they praise you too. He said, neither praise nor disappointment should be anything to you because my grace is sufficient. What we will boast in is Jesus Christ. May the Lord allow your soul boast should be to be Jesus. Amen. When you open your scripture, may you see Jesus. Amen. Any biblical interpretation, expression, any Christian experience that does not foremost take into account the will of the Son of Glory is not of the Lord. Amen. As we close, I'd like to read a few words to the Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Let's write it down. Paul said this prayer. He said to the Thessalonians, to Christians, he said, I pray also that you be counted worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. It is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I live now, the work I do now, the children I have now, everything now, I live by faith in who? These are concrete declarations. They are not Bible recitals. They are concrete declaration of faith based on the understanding of the sure words of prophecy. I pray that Christ will humble you. Amen. At times, I think our New Age Christians, we are too full of ourselves. We think the Lord operates for us. We represent our generation, our entitled generation. There's also an entitled Christ. We think we're entitled to life. We're entitled to peace. We're entitled to all things. Oh, we're not. Our life, our peace, our now have been nailed on the cross with Jesus, and he may use it as he pleases. Said that Christ may be glorified in me, whether in my life or in my death. This theology can only be established. This is the only true New Testament theology. That's why you find that those who knew Christ dearest, who followed him nearest, were also people who were ready to give their dearest for him. It is okay to say, what does Jesus think about this? It is okay to say, but how does this relate to the purpose of Jesus? If your company sends you on a project and they are telling you about wonderful ideas, you are going to ask them, but how does that align with the objectives of my company? We're supposed to represent the Lord. I close this morning by saying to you that the word of prophecy continues in the New Testament. And here is the overwhelming prophecy that you and I are waiting for, because we have known him as the Lamb and we are waiting to know him as a lion. Because the word of prophecy in Genesis spoke about a lion. In Acts chapter 1, verse 9, the word of prophecy, as the Lord Jesus was being taken up into glory, the Bible says an angel appeared unto those who were there. And the angel said to them that this same Jesus who was taken up into heaven will come in the like manner as you see him go up. Revelation chapter 1 verse 7 says, behold, he is coming with the clouds and every eye will see him, Even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth, we mourn because of him. Even so, amen. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10. The apostle gave the exhortation is given to New Testament, to New Covenant Church this morning. He said, you now, he said, they turn from their idols to serve the living God and to wait for his son from heaven. Jesus is coming, brethren, and he will wipe away tears from every eye. Let him come and meet us, loving him. Don't be preoccupied with your jobs this year. I didn't say don't pay attention to your jobs. I'm talking about preoccupation. Don't be preoccupied with Christian work this year. First thing first, abide with the Lord and let his word abide in you. Find Christ in all theology. Let the way he lived his life humble your heart. Let his acceptance of us into his kingdom humble us. If they are going to describe all of us this year, I pray that they will not describe you as that kind brother or sister, although that will be true. And it should be true. I pray that the way we conduct ourselves in words and speech, in everything, that the first thing that will spring to everybody's mind is that lover of Jesus. Because our kindness, our wisdom, our life derive directly from the knowledge of the Son of God. The whole of the New Testament and the Old Testament, brethren, is about Jesus. Let's go and find it. Search the scriptures. In those scriptures, you think you have eternal life, but those are the same scriptures that talk about me. Sister Buki, will you pray for us?
Dear Lord, we thank you, Almighty God, even for your word that you have spoken to us this morning. Lord God Almighty, we pray that even as we've learned that the scriptures bear witness of you, I pray that we will find you. Help us, O Lord God, to seek you with all of our heart, with all of our being, with all of our soul. Father, Lord, as your word says, as the deer pants after the water brooks, so Lord, may that be our portion this year, to pant after you with all that is in us. Father, Lord, I pray that your word will not be distant from us. Help us that, as Colossians says, that your word will dwell richly in each of our hearts, in Jesus' name, from the oldest to the youngest one of us. Let your word be vibrant. Father, your word is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, O Lord. Cuts to the bone and marrow and judges the intents of our heart. I pray, Lord, as you speak your word, we would hear it, we would read it, we would know it, and that we would truly be able to declare you and live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. In obedience to his commandment, he said we should break bread in remembrance of him. We'll go into our Holy Communion session now. Brother Peter leading us.